I'm Bill Littlefield. Coming up on Only a Game, a story demonstrating that umpires who want to be loved rather than razzed need only visit a Veterans Administration hospital. But first, I think I'll change my name to Jim, trust me on this, and talk to Yogi Berra about I Really Didn't Say Everything I Said, his book of Yogiisms. Yogi dropped by recently and explained how the book came to be.
People ask me, you know, you can walk down the street in New York, they say, when are you going to come out with a book, Yogiism? I said, well, one of these days we will.
And here it is.
Here it is.
Here it is. Do you have a favorite among these Yogiisms which are attributed to you?
Well, there's a few of them in there. You know, it ain't over till it's over. Gets laid out early out here. Nobody goes there. It's too crowded. And when you come to the fork in the road, take it.
That's the favorite in our
yeah,
office.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, a lot of college professors use that. In college.
Just to baffle their students?
Well, you say you're from Montclair. You know Highland Avenue?
Sure.
You know the fork in the road going up with the road up? There's a fork there.
Yeah.
Both of them lead up to Highland Avenue.
So take it.
Take it.
I have to ask you, Yogi, has there ever been a moment, a day, when you wished that you weren't known as the author of these Yogiisms and were just known as a three-time MVP and a very successful Hall of Fame ball player and a very successful Major League manager?
Well, you like to, but I don't know I say these things, though, Jim. That's the funny point about it. I knew about it. You know, we could be sitting at the table, you know, at home with the kids and having dinner, and one of them pop up and say, Dad, you said another one. I didn't even know what I said, to tell you the truth.
Well, it's really a good thing there was somebody to record them in that case.
I know. They wrote down. My wife, she's probably got 150 of them. That's not in the book. She knows a lot of them.
That's good, because it's always good to have another book in reserve.
I don't know. It might be the last.
I'm going to suggest a phrase to you and see if it feels like a comfortable phrase to you. Mm-hmm. You're a Montclair man now. Mm-hmm. Golf at the Montclair Country Club. The New Jersey Yankees.
The New Jersey Yankees. No, I don't think that's going to happen, Jim. I don't think it will.
You don't see that.
I want to seem to keep it over there where it's at now.
Meaning?
Stay right there. Fix it up.
Yankee Stadium
like to see
right
them
there
fix
in the Bronx.
It up like the old Camden Yards. You know, that was the slums when I played there in there. And they fixed it up very nice. And look what it's done. I like to see them fix it. I know it's going to take time to fix it up over there in the Bronx. But to me, Yankee Stadium is like the Statue of Liberty, you know. People want to see the Statue of Liberty when they come to New York, and a lot of them want to see where the house Root built, you know, Yankee Stadium. And I think it's going to be tough. I know things change, but I still like to see them keep it there.
Well, if they kept it there and built a new ballpark along the lines of Camden Yards or the new ballpark in Cleveland, would you go back?
Probably. I watch a lot of games. I don't go there now, you know. But I like to see him restore the Yankee Stadium like it was the old way.
Do you feel, I know you had your differences with the Yankees, particularly with the way you left the organization, but do you still feel like a Yankee?
Oh, yeah, because all the coaches there I've been associated with, Mel Stottlemyre, he pitched for me in 64. Randolph and Chambliss played me when I was coaching there with Billy Martin. Don Zimmer was a coach with me with the Yankees there before he left. And Joe Torres, we played against him, you know. And I know them all.
So there still is that feeling of an association.
And they got a good club too, Jim. Don't think they don't. They'll score a lot of runs before the year is over.
I have a friend up here who's a scout, Major League Baseball scout. His name is Lenny Marullo.
I've heard of him.
Well, yeah, Lenny... Yeah. Played for the Cubs, was a shortstop in the 40s, and his grandson caught for the White Sox fairly recently, Matty Marullo. And it always seemed to me that that must have been an extremely proud moment for an ex-major leaguer to see his grandson take the field in a major league uniform. Did you have a similar sort of experience when Dale played in the bigs?
Sure, when Dale played, when I got fired from the Mets in 75, I went to see Dale play in Niagara Falls. I followed him around in there. It's good to see him. You know, then he made Pittsburgh. It is a great thrill. It is. Like my son Timmy played football for the Baltimore Colts. It was a great thrill there. Larry was signed with the Mets as a catcher, but he hurt both knees. The day I was going to go up there and see him play, He got hurt the night before. So they all love sports, and they did it on their own. Jim, I didn't help him much at all. I said, you want to play that bad? Play with your brothers. That's what we had to do when we were kids. Then your dad, my dad didn't believe in baseball. He come from the old country. He didn't know what baseball was. And I had three other brothers that could have gone and play. My oldest brother was the best one of us all. And he didn't get a chance to go out and play. And I used to kid my dad. I said, Dad, you know, if you let all your three sons play, you've been a millionaire. He said, I'll blame your mother.
Well, that's very much like the Lenny Marullo story.
They'd
constantly ask him when he was growing up, when are you going to get a job?
That's right.
And then he signed with the Cubs, and he came and put a $1,500 check on the table, and she said to all the other 11 kids, when are you going to go out and play baseball?
That is the truth. You know, my dad was the first one come from. I had two brothers born in Italy. My dad came over first. He got the job and sent for my mother and my two oldest brothers. And they didn't know what baseball was. What the heck? I worked in a shoe factory I had to get a permit. When I was 14 years old, I had to get a permit to work in a shoe factory. They believe, you know, bring that check home. That, you know, they know they're getting it every week. And that's the way it was.
Right. You're traveling to promote this book.
Mm-hmm.
Do you find that as you go on the road, people come up to you and kind of hope for a yogiism that they haven't heard before? Is there a certain amount of pressure to produce these things?
No, that I don't know. I say them. I really don't. I might. I really know.
All right. Yogi, I appreciate you taking time to talk to us.
Thank you, Jim.
Yogi Berra's I Really Didn't Say Everything I Said is published by Workman Press. And you know, it really wasn't so bad that Yogi called me Jim throughout our conversation. It could have been worse. On page 108 of his book, it says that during the author's audience with the Pope, His Holiness said, "Hello, Yogi," and Yogi replied, "Hello, Pope."